Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Before we start with Bravo, I want to get your opinion on something.
Okay.
I have a bachelorette party this weekend.
As you always do. My God. Okay.
This one is in the city. A friend of ours is coming down from Hudson Valley, which is just up north, a couple hours. She wants to do a full hotel, club. Another club, brunch, like 20, exactly, like a 20-something. And, you know, a few of us are struggling at our age with the idea of having this kind of bachelorette. Because I was just on one a few weeks ago, but it was Palm Springs. It was chill. We were bed early every night. It was, you know,
right, like,
different vibe.
You are 30. You're no longer 25.
Right.
Yeah, I get it.
So we obviously love our friend and want to support her, but like I was like, I'm not going to stay at the hotel. I live in this city. I don't need to pay to stay here more than I already do. I have a rent.
Was she mad?
No, she's chill because I'm not part of the bridal party. So she has different expectations for the other gals involved. Some of them are a little more obligated to stay at the hotel, whereas I'm like,
eh. Okay, so I'm sort of on the other side of this dilemma in that I have a bachelorette party coming up, I think, in March. And the person rented an Airbnb. And one of the people on the trip was like, let's be honest. Like, you know, I'm bougie. I need to get my own hotel that's going to be nice. And and respect. But part of me is like, she better be contributing to the Airbnb. Because why do I have to pay for her share?
Interesting. Well, yeah, I guess now the Airbnb would be split between one less person, right?
Yeah.
Sneaky.
It's sneaky.
But is she going to eat at the Airbnb? Is she going to contribute to whatever food you guys get and like booze for the house?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure she will. She's not like, it's not like she's a, you know, clearly she's not stingy.
Yeah.
But it just makes you think. And then it's like, why do I even care?
I know. But I do also understand a little bit because I've had my fair share of Airbnbs recently, and I'm kind of like, you know what? I think I'm more of a hotel person.
But not this hotel. You want to stay in your apartment.
But not this hotel. It is the Williamsburg Hotel.
But you're not contributing to the hotel bill.
Unless I end up crashing there one night, which may happen, because I also heard we have a reservation at some place in Brooklyn at 11:45 p.m. It reminds me of that scene in 30 Rock where the guy's like telling Liz Lemon, I'll pick you up at 10. And she's like, at night?
Wait, what's the place in Brooklyn?
Nowadays.
Huh.
Which I think is outdoors, which is good because, hi, we're still in a pandemic. But 11:45, I was like, whoo, gonna need a Red Bull for that one.
Yeah, wow.
Okay, now in Bravo news.
Oh, right, that.
Oh, yes. Below Deck Season 9, trailer dropped last week.
Yeah.
This season on Below Deck.
We have to have one of those serious type conversations.
Is everything all right?
I have a condition.
Seriously, Cap?
The whole
Some of you were expecting Captain Lee.
Even the dock with a new captain, new crew, tensions are high.
I don't know what to do.
My life.
Give it to me, Chefy.
Let's go this charter in the face.
I'm gonna garnish and these will be ready to rock.
Chef Amazing. Rachel.
I have to rip this bitch's head off.
Eddie, nice to meet you.
She's still?
Yes.
I put people in line that need to be put in line.
This isn't high school drama. This is five-star service.
I don't know what was worse, having to clean dildos in Europe. At least the dildos got me excited.
My camera!
What the f***?
If you had to make out with one person at this table.
I could show him a thing or two.
Alexander Hamilton, both.
Yeah. None of us look good.
These are out. Hold on.
Oh.
Somebody's been a bad favorite.
The guests are on a rampage.
Go f*** yourself. I think it's best we all just...
No, go f*** yourself and throw yourself off the boat.
I love guest drama because it's not my drama.
St. Kitts better be ready. Here comes first mate Ed.
Put the table up there. Other way.
Come back to me, Captain Lee. Come back to me, my boat daddy.
Might be a little late, but I'm definitely back.
This charter is gonna go perfect, right?
Why tonight? Why?
God damn it.
I'm gonna rip someone's head off.
That's my job.
Alarming things were said on your behalf, viciously attacking my integrity and character.
Is it just me, or do you feel like a volcano is about to erupt?
Training day's over. There's no room for excuses.
Rethink the way you talk to me.
Son of a bitch.
Sorry. He will fire me tomorrow. Me.
Right, Joe, the pig's on fire.
No.
If I have to do your job, what do I need you for? Pack your bags.
You'll just hold your chin up. Everything will be great.
Let's talk about it.
I just watched it.
Me
so
too.
It's fresh on my mind. First thoughts, Chef Rachel's back.
Thank God.
I know. She's too perfect for reality TV to not be on it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And we already get her cursing up a storm in this trailer. Something about being f***ed in the face. You know, I mean, it's everything
normal,
we want.
Normal talk.
Right.
It's hard to break down. I was thinking this as I was watching it, to break down a Below Deck trailer.
Yeah.
Because... so many new people.
Right.
And you don't really know what you're looking at almost. But yeah, Eddie's back. Captain Lee drama in that some medical condition. He can't be there at the beginning, but we do get him at the end.
Thank God.
Thank goodness. But the other thing that just made me LOL was the charter guests who were fighting so much that the chief stew had to get in between them.
Yeah.
And then the guy said, like, just go jump off a boat, see if I care. Which I've 1,000% said in a heated argument. I hope you get hit by a car.
Oh, God. To who? Andrew?
No.
You're like my ex-husband. Well, we know that nobody should be jumping off of any boats because we saw Captain Lee get very upset last season. So no jumping off boats, even if you're mad.
Right.
Please.
Please.
New Chief Stew, Heather Chase is her name. She is actually really good friends with Alex Radcliffe, who was on Below Deck Med last season.
Ah.
It's a very small yachty world.
Yes.
I'm into her so far.
Yeah, I
it's
like
the blonde.
Her. Yes. Well, a nice ass.
Yeah.
Am I allowed
to? Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tattoo.
It was
like
everywhere.
Rosary.
I mean, I was into it.
Yeah. Lots of butts.
Lots of butts.
I love butts in life and on Below Deck. We don't get a lot in the last couple of seasons, I think, of Below Deck Med and Below Deck. We haven't gotten as many changing in their rooms, you know, B-roll butt shots.
Right.
But we did in Sailing Yacht, though.
Below Deck Season 9 premieres October 25th at 9, 8 Central. Okay, well, actually, this brings me to a question.
Yeah.
I'm going to an engagement party that's, like, very casual. It's a casual engagement party / pool party.
Oh.
Are you allowed to wear a thong bikini to an engagement party?
100%.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't, because like.
Producer Megan says yes too. I mean, it's a consensus.
I'm like, do you have to like, I don't know, can be conservative if it's an engagement party?
No, you channel your inner Dr. Wendy and you show up looking however you want to show up.
Okay, thank you. I needed that push.
Now you got to post pictures on Instagram. Okay. Everyone's going to be looking. Okay, in other Bravo news, speaking of engagement parties, and we'll get into this in the Shaw's recap, Paulina and Mike are engaged.
Right. Yeah, I feel like we got to save that discussion for the reunion. But yes, mazel.
Mazel. Also in Bravo news, I have some fun thing I wanted to share.
Okay.
Sonia is doing a Sonia in Your City cabaret improv show.
What? She's like biting Luann style and doing her own cabaret?
I guess so. Well, I think it's more of an improv comedy show.
And is it cabaret-esque?
There may be a cabaret-esque element. I believe there will be drag queens, some comedy. I'm sure it'll be very Sonia Morgan. There is a friends and family preview coming this week, and a friend of mine was invited, and he was like, do you want to come? And I was like, obviously.
Wow.
So I'll let you guys know next week how that goes.
Also, Project Runway season 19 trailer dropped this week. You can catch the premiere Thursday, October 14th.
Okay, what are we recapping today?
Real Housewives of Potomac.
Mm-hmm.
Shaw's A Sunset Reunion Part 1.
Ooh.
And Beverly Hills.
Obviously. We can't stop talking about it. Potomac?
Yes.
Speaking of bathing suits and Dr. Wendy, did you notice she changed when she got to breakfast after that conversation with Karen?
Which I'm glad. And, you know, I said it last week, but I'll say it again. I don't care what Giselle says about about Karen sort of capitalizing on the moment, like she doesn't really care about you. I really felt that Karen cared about Wendy in that moment and saying, like, if you're more conservative because of Giselle, you need to stop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's ridiculous.
You're a little more conservative today. Why? You're going to a pool. If you're dressing for her, go change your clothes.
And Karen is, in a lot of ways, the matriarch of the group. And she very often provides wisdom, advice to the women. We've seen her do it with Candace. She's doing it with Wendy. I think she's trying to uplift her castmates in many instances. And sometimes she's got a lot of shade for Giselle. That's true. Both of them are a little obsessed with each other, obviously. But oftentimes I think Karen is coming from a genuine place.
Right. Agreed. So Giselle taking Robin outside to give her some tough love, which I was kind of fine with. You know, yeah. Like, even though we discussed, like, I think something much more serious is probably going on with Robin that right. She should talk to a doctor about.
By the way, she shared an update last week about how she looked into the symptoms of adult ADHD because a lot of fans had messaged her about it and replied to her on Instagram. And she actually went and got consulted and I believe was diagnosed. I don't know for sure. But
wow.
She posted on Instagram, yeah.
Her revealing to Giselle, I've had Macy's and QVC talk, like, call me up about the hat business. Like, if that's true, someone needs to shake Robin.
I mean, you need an assistant or somebody screening these calls and managing this a little bit better. When TJ Maxx calls, you answer.
Right. It's sort of like Craig from Southern Charm with the pillow business. Like, even though Craig was too distracted, you know, his assistant stayed on top of it.
Yeah, exactly. Robin needs some help. I mean, get Corey or Carter on it, for God's sake. I mean, Let's do something here. But, I mean, I always thought her line was perfect for something like TJ Maxx, maybe more so than Macy's, no shade. But you know what I mean? I feel like if an opportunity comes knocking, I know she's afraid of failure and she's been through it in the past when it comes to her finances, but you have to keep taking chances. I mean, she did just buy a new house and build a new house and all that. So I get it, but I mean, just go for it.
Honestly, this next thing should probably just have been my rose, but when Ashley talked about her having her placenta encapsulated, which I mean, we hear about all the time, I feel like, in Real Housewives world, but the actual showing of the placenta being encapsulated and the producer gagging off camera, I died.
That was so hilarious. And that is dedication to your job.
Yes.
Okay. If you get your call sheet that day and it's like, you are going to watch this placenta get boiled and then broken down into capsules, and the producer's like, okay.
Which I
love
just
my job.
Feel like we don't discuss enough in in today's culture, how gross a placenta looks.
Yeah,
it looks unholy.
It does. It's the coloration. It's the
squiddiness of it.
I mean, it is.
Like, it could have tentacles and I wouldn't be that surprised.
Absolutely. I mean, it is one of those things that you are just not exposed to very often because it's obviously on the inside of the human body. But, like, I've seen hearts, you know, you've seen other organs in ads for, you know, what happens to your lungs when you smoke. And you're always like, oh, but that particular thing is jarring at first. Yeah. I'd probably be gagging too. I can't imagine the smell. Oh. I'm sorry, everyone.
I decided to encapsulate my placenta.
Don't mind me, just I'm not here.
And put it into some pills, and I do already feel a little bit of a difference in my mood.
Ugh. Okay, I do dry heave, forgive me.
I feel great, I feel warm.
I'm gonna throw up.
Okay, well, let's get into Ashley being a professional. When it comes to being a housewife, she showed up, drank a whole bunch of Corona Lights, got right in the mix, started shit, and then left.
Yeah.
Ashley Darby, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, I was a little here and there with Ashley, who I always have loved. I felt like I didn't love that she was agreeing with Giselle about Wendy in terms of, like, why is she dressing like that now? It's just like, Ashley, of all people who's so sex positive,
yeah,
how are you gonna say anything? You know? Right. And then with the stuff with Eddie, I guess I don't blame Ashley for bringing it to Wendy because it's a housewife's conundrum that comes up many times. If you have said it on camera to someone else, don't you owe it to the person you're talking about to tell them it's being discussed?
Yeah.
So I guess I wasn't mad at that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm Team Ashley in that I think she had a better approach than Giselle when it came to the difference she saw in Wendy. It was less about her physical appearance and more about this emotional change that she saw in Wendy, a personality difference. And then I think the enhancements, so to speak, were almost secondary in the way that Ashley was approaching it, but she was kind of just co-signing what Giselle was bringing her. But just like last season, we saw her, you know, straight up tell Candace, I wrote this, you know, statement for Monique. Like, Ashley will always be honest, even if she's being messy or shady. So I did like that she brought it to Wendy, but then Wendy quickly was like, oh, I see what's going on here. And then it turned into something much bigger.
Which is interesting because some housewives take the approach of, I'm not going to react because then the cameras have something to sort of, you know, pick up.
Right. And it will always be a flashback in seasons from now. Yeah.
And Wendy just went the other way with it.
Well, you know what? Watching this, I couldn't help but think of what Monique went through last year. And that was from the beginning of the season confronting a rumor that Giselle brought on the show about her husband, her child, all of that. So Wendy is almost getting the treatment that Monique got last year in some ways. And Wendy was pretty critical of the way Monique reacted and handled herself in those situations. Now Wendy is kind of in Monique's shoes.
Right.
And I think that's what she's calling out to Giselle. She's like, I see how you move and it's shady. And you're now trying to make these rumors, even if you don't believe them, whatever, you're making them storyline. And I have a problem with that.
Also, what is with Giselle even pretending for a second like she's not bothered by rumors that have come up about Jamal?
Right.
I mean, that's what she said when Wendy was going off. And it's like, Giselle, why aren't you talking to Karen right now?
Right.
You called her a troll last episode because she brought up something about Jamal.
Yeah.
Like, what?
I know. It's messy.
Do you think Wendy overreacted?
I think it's neither here nor there because I understand defending your family, defending your man, and defending yourself and being like, hold on, I don't want this to be the storyline this season. I don't want these rumors to continue getting life because now this is what, the fourth time Giselle said it on camera. Ashley also now has said it maybe twice on camera. So at this point, Wendy's connecting the dots and being like, oh, hold up. Like, we need to shut it down right here and now because I don't want this to continue on through the rest of the season.
Yeah.
So I think she got upset, and I think maybe she sees things a little bit differently from how she saw things last year. But I would be pretty pissed if I were her, too.
I do feel a little bit like Ashley is collateral damage in a way because Giselle brought it up to her. She didn't bring it up.
Yeah.
You know? And so then she rightfully so was like, shit, I gotta admit to Wendy, we have talked about this on camera now.
Yeah.
And, you know?
Yeah. And she took Wendy aside and was like, look, before I get up on out of here, I'm gonna just let you know what's really going on. And what the root of it is.
I will say, and I, to answer my own question, I actually don't think Wendy overreacted because, like you said, I think it's her realizing. I mean, and that's the thing that I was just like, Giselle, why are you acting dumb? You know why she's actually mad.
Right.
Because you took something that wasn't, I had not even heard that rumor.
No, it seems like they keep flashing back to one headline on one blog.
That, like, who reads?
Right.
Right? It wasn't like E! Online is reporting.
Yeah.
So that's where the anger is coming from. Like, why are you you just brought this up on camera now. That is, you know, why would you do that? Of course she's pissed. But when Wendy said to Giselle, the life you're living is God paying you back for all you've done. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
What's so funny? The life you're living now is exactly God paying you back for all the bullshit you've done. So live in your motherfucking truth.
That was maybe a little too far.
Oh no, I loved it.
I don't know. I get nervous when they bring God into it. I'm like, oh, I'm like, but she was with a pastor, so just be careful. One thing we can always count on is Candace will always kick Ashley out the house.
I mean, yeah, really. I really liked Candace in this episode.
Okay, I have to admit that Mia is losing me a bit with her back and forth on everything. And Candace, with her interview moments this season, is cracking me up. I'm all in on Candace.
I know. I'm really impressed with her and just her stance on the whole Wendy situation and her being supportive of Wendy and being like, who cares, you know?
I mean, we talked about it earlier this season. I think having her bonus kids around has an impact on her. I think we are seeing a softer, more responsible side of Candace. And I think that responsibility is translating over into how she is handling herself and what she's saying on the show and to her friends.
The one person I feel bad for in this episode is Robin because she did all those shots to be funny and thinking they were going to have like a nice light day together. And then this feud blows up with Wendy and Giselle, and I can just imagine Robin at the same time the alcohol really setting in and then just being like, I'm too drunk to deal with this. Like this, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, that's the worst. I mean, whenever you're just like the only one too, it's not like anyone else was on her level at that point. Sorry, Robin.
Oh.
Shaz?
Yes.
I want to start by saying poor Tommy.
Me too.
Because when it comes to reality television, sometimes spouses, they just get the raw deal.
I mean, what do you mean by that?
Like, they are dealing with the consequences of their spouse's actions, whether their spouse wanted them to know about it or not. And it was like the picture that she sent around, which obviously she did that to get back at Tommy because she was upset with him. But then it's on the show.
It's now on like a national level.
Yeah, now he's embarrassed. I mean, he's there in bed with their child as she's getting ready to go to this reunion with this information that she sent her tits to Nima and Mike and whoever else it was. And it's just like, I don't know, it's embarrassing.
And not only that, and he brought it up, but he was like, you made it look like we have the worst marriage, which is true. Like, I mean, not the worst, but I just think her storyline a lot this year was Tommy and I never have sex anymore.
Right.
And it's like, I wouldn't want that out there either.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's been open about the ups and downs in their relationship, but maybe sometimes, and maybe it's the edit that she gets or something, it just looks like things are maybe worse for her than they actually are.
I am in the doghouse because of that comment.
Everybody will be getting along and everybody will be friends. And then you talking about my marriage being in shambles.
Okay. Well, I don't think our marriage is in shambles.
No shit. But you sure acted like it was. Sending topless photos to friends because you're mad at me. You're not embarrassing me like that again, ever.
I hate to hurt my husband, but he did not take it well.
He did?
No.
I also like have a feeling he didn't know she was wearing a mic, you know, right. when she went in. And right. I just like, oh, this is going to like stir up a whole other thing.
Yeah. Now he's mad again after watching part one.
What do we think about Mike giving flowers to everyone before the reunion?
It's a bit of a boy move. You know, if it had come from Reza, I would have been like thoughtful, kind, nice, you know, trying to level set.
Not Reza this season.
Well, not Reza this season, I guess.
It's just such a, we're friends, right? So you're not going to go hard on me, right? Because we're friends, right? Like, it's that to me.
I guess if it had been Nima, I would have been like, okay, that's on brand.
Right.
Yeah, Reza might have been, those flowers might have come with a cost. Yeah. Well, speaking of Reza, he does bring something up that I thought was kind of interesting about how things shift and change within friend groups. Like oftentimes with a group of people, you go through phases where you are closer with certain people than others. And actually within the last couple of years, it's something that's happened within my own friend group in various ways. And I have a couple different friend groups who have their own crossover. Most of them are from Ithaca, as you know, like all my friends are basically people I went to college with. So there is crossover. But I have found that, you know, as you grow and go through different things, you do end up connecting with different people who are maybe at similar places that you are or see things in a similar way. You know, that happens, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So when he becomes friends with you, he hangs out with you every day, calls you every day. And when you're on the outs,
that's friendship.
Boom, the next person takes that spot.
No, it's not the next person, Andy. We're like siblings. This is a family, and we fight like siblings, and everyone expects the pie to always get sliced evenly. It's not replacing. It's sometimes you're closer with some people than you are with others in the group.
I'm sort of like going through that in terms of, what if there's someone that like you don't really connect with so much anymore, but they're one of the few friends that's willing to leave their house anymore?
That's true.
So I'm
we've
really
all got one of those.
Balancing that at the moment.
No, it's very true. And I mean, people go through different things at different times, so you vibe in different ways, and it does happen. It's hard. I think they keep talking in this part of the reunion. It's hard to be six equal players in this game when there are just different relationships take different courses, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
A few physical things to comment on, I think. I miss Reza with a little weight on him.
Oh, okay.
I like when they showed the side-by-side, I was like, oh, wow, like he lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Do you think his personality is different depending on how he looks?
No.
Okay. That's good at least. Well, that's good though. That's good. I mean, if he's consistent with that at least, you know?
The other thing is Destiny looked a little different and Andy asked.
Yeah. I was confused.
And she said, no, 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 yes.
Yeah, right. It was.
That she did get cheek fillers.
He was like, have you had stuff done? She was like, no. And then he was like, oh, but, you know, things look different. And she's like, well, I did have fillers in my cheeks and like here, but I haven't done it since this. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Just be honest. We can see it.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all new Cerebral way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
Do you ever feel like you're settling? For your foundation, that is. Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation doesn't settle into fine lines and wrinkles. with SPF 20 and moisturizing Pro Vitamin B5. This foundation not only provides medium coverage and a natural finish, but also protects and nourishes your skin. And the best part? The blurring sponge tip applicator makes application a breeze. Say goodbye to cakey, uneven foundation, and hello to a flawless, radiant complexion. Try our new foundation today and see the difference for yourself at amazon.com/instant-eraser-foundation.
Speaking of looks, Gigi was giving me Persian Ariana Grande. Mike was giving me Persian Prince with the color of the suit, I think, in particular.
Right, yes.
It was a little more pink than like a Prince purple, but I still got that.
Yeah. Oh, I was fascinated to learn that the group is like friends with Jessica.
Right. I think Mike was a little fascinated to learn that too and tried to downplay how he felt.
But he still talks to her sometimes.
Right. Yes, that's true.
That whole thing was interesting. And then Paulina comes out, which I was so excited about, and said that she's fine that Mike talks to Jessica, as she should be, but then had to like message Jessica because Jessica called her fake or something.
Right. I would love to know what Paulina said in that message. She said she didn't get a response, but she said what she needed to say. And that was that.
Paulina's a little scary.
I'm a little afraid of her. But I'm also concerned for her.
Yeah.
In the whole thing.
Yes, agreed.
Afraid of and concerned for. It's a very complex emotion.
Okay, which I did want to ask. Because I was shocked when Andy asked who here thinks sexting is cheating.
Right.
And Mike rose his hand because he has to.
Yeah.
But no one else considers that cheating. Do you consider that cheating?
Well, we've talked about this before. It's been identified as micro cheating these days, right? Where it's not like you've done some physical act, but it is something you are doing that is removing you emotionally from your partner. And so I was really surprised by that vote too, because then I was like, well, what are we so upset about then? But I guess it comes down to, does Paulina define it as cheating? And if so, then we have an issue.
And maybe they're taking it too literally. Like, do you define it as cheating? Well, no. But MJ, would you be mad if Tommy sexted a girl? I would think
right.
Yes.
Right. Like, what if he sent a picture of his ass to his friends when he was mad at MJ?
Well, I don't really know that that's acquittable, but
Well, I mean, boobs and dick pic feel like those aren't the same, you know?
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
They are?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, everyone's nodding at me. Okay, all right, I guess. Well, yeah, what if then Tommy sent a dick pic to his friends when he was mad, his female friends when he was mad at MJ? She probably wouldn't be pleased. I'll have to ask her next time we see her.
I just was surprised by that. And of course, it made me say to Andrew, do you think sexting is cheating?
What did he say?
He said, well, what do you think?
Right. Oh, smart man. A smart, smart man. I mean, Danny was flat out like, that's cheating. And I was like, well, yeah, I mean.
Okay, just to get specific here. I think if you send fire emoji on someone's like sexy story, fine.
Married to Medicine was dealing with that recently.
I think that is whatever. Like, that's flirting, I guess.
Yeah.
But if you're using words like, I would suck, or I would.
Are you a boob or ass man?
You know.
Yeah.
What I would do if I were the, like, right. That to me, I'm like, oh, that's a betrayal.
Yes. If you're exchanging like those kind of messages.
Yeah.
That feels like a betrayal.
Yeah.
Well, what if you are just sending pictures, but there's no like, ooh, I would do X, Y, and Z with you. But is that still sexting?
Am I sending the photo to one person who's not my partner?
Sure. In this example.
That's a sext.
Yeah, that's a sext. It is interesting that, you know, if it's not defined as cheating.
What is it?
By most of these people, what do they consider it? And then what are we even fighting about?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's why I feel like there's a disconnect here. I don't know.
Well, then speaking of sexting, texting, whatever, I'm not sure this reunion will get to the bottom of who sent the spoof messages to Mike.
Right.
Do you feel any more confident at this point who it might have been? Whether it was Gigi, Reza, someone who hacked an iCloud, whatever.
Well, I was sort of like, I think Mike's just lying.
Yeah. Well, like, but definitely about the iCloud thing.
Right. But these spoof messages also seem like a lie that he was doubling down and trying to cover.
Yeah, maybe.
But then MJ said something that made me think, oh, she goes, I don't think anyone here is going to admit to sending those.
Who sent the text?
Yeah, come on, be honest.
No one sent any text.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And no one sent the emails either back in the day.
Nobody is going to admit to the spoof.
As if she maybe knew who had sent them?
I don't know.
A mystery.
But, you know, I've made a couple of comments about Reza, and I just feel like Nima sort of hit it on the head in this reunion where he said that there's a nasty part of Reza who turns on people that scares him.
Yeah.
And I really find that to be true. You know, last season we saw it with MJ, but even I was going back preparing for this Life After Bravo interview, and he said some terrible things about MJ season two reunion that I had totally forgotten, like really did turn on her in like a way.
Yeah.
And it is concerning how he can turn so quickly on someone.
You feel like it's hard for people to trust him, maybe?
Yeah.
It'd be interesting if this reunion put together a package of all the times that Reza has done that. You know, and just kind of presented him with that to Nima's point to see how he would react. But maybe next reunion.
Yeah.
Depending on how this next season goes.
I will say Gigi coming back with the roses and giving them to Paulina. It was no bunny.
It was no bunny. No, but.
But it was a moment.
It was a moment.
I finally do understand now, though, where Gigi is coming from and why she was mad at Paulina. Like, I feel like she explained it in a way that I was able to digest, which is, you're not my friend. You're my friend's girlfriend. And you were trying to embarrass my friend.
Right.
So then I don't like you.
Yeah. I mean, there's a real sense of loyalty there.
Yes.
That I think a lot of people would want in a friend. Obviously, Paulina will not be that friend to Gigi anytime soon. But Mike is. And Gigi has, for the most part, been in his corner this entire season.
Yeah.
She needs some indica because she got a little...
turnt.
She got a little crazy.
I thought it was really nice hearing Paulina talk about Mike, how he is with her kids, how he does things for her kids that men don't usually do for their own, let alone their stepkids. And I thought that was really sweet. However, I just wish that Paulina knew she deserves to have that and faithfulness.
I know, right? There is something beneath all of that that feels very misogynistic in some ways of like, well, most men wouldn't do this and he does it. So in that case, I need to excuse the other things. You know, deep down, I feel like that's how she's rationalizing it. And it's like, okay, he bathes your kids and like puts them to bed. He should be doing that. Anyone who is stepping into a parental role, even if it's step-parent and those kids are young, he should be doing those things.
Right.
So if, like, that's all you're focused on, you got to look at the big picture, I think. You know? I don't know.
He was just way too defensive in this reunion, and I just feel like people who cheat never consider themselves cheaters.
Yeah.
And the fact that Andy was bringing up Jessica and he was getting so mad and he was just like, what are you trying to say? Oh, that I'm a piece of shit. Yeah, I get it. And it's like, yeah, Mike, like we're just
that's kind of what we're saying.
That's what we're saying. And that, and like, you just need to say, okay.
Yeah.
My bad.
I mean, was this the best time for them to announce their engagement?
Ugh.
We're engaged. You're engaged.
Yes. And we wanted to share that with everybody today.
Congratulations.
Beautiful. Congratulations.
My God, I was like Muzzle joking talk today.
The answer is no.
Yeah.
Like, this is the moment you choose at this particular
especially
reunion?
Especially because it's supposed to be this happy, we love each other, not like a fuck you to people.
Right, right. Just the way that she was talking about their relationship after everyone was already asking Mike a lot of questions, it just seemed like it was a, well, doesn't matter what you guys say because here's the ring. It's like, oh. And then the prenup conversation. Paulina, she has money.
Yeah.
She needs to not just protect herself. It's exactly what Destiny was saying, protect her kids. And it is just the responsible thing to do. It's 2021. Put all of that, like, oh, I wouldn't marry him if I didn't totally trust. No. Okay. What happens in 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now? You don't know. You can't predict that. This is just the responsible thing to do for everyone involved. Sign the prenup. But there's always the option for a postnup, as we learned from Ashley Darby.
True.
So. Okay. Beverly Hills?
Yes.
Do you think Erica has been communicating with the women on this show off camera? If so, who? And what has she been saying?
Well, in the after show last week, Sutton said that she thinks Erica knew about the secret meeting at Dorit's house because, and she was like, look, I have no proof of this, but my hunch is Lisa Rinna called and told her.
Right. And Sutton had that really interesting point about the headband, where oftentimes when you want to look innocent, you dress to look innocent. And almost as if that were a tactic that Erica pulled when she came to that dinner.
So yeah, I think Lisa Rinna for sure.
Yeah. What about Kyle?
Maybe Kyle.
Yeah, I think Kyle.
Why do you think that?
I think she's the one Erica would trust the most.
That's true. Yeah, I guess I didn't know what you in what context you meant. I think Lisa Rinna calls Erica to keep her informed. I think Kyle calls Erica maybe to check in on her.
Yeah, right, exactly. I think Erica would open up to Kyle quicker than she might to Rinna about certain things. But yeah, it would just be interesting to know what conversations were happening that we haven't seen. I mean, at every level.
Okay, so Erica said that she had never, that the cheating, the Tom cheating stuff came up after she left Yolanda's condo. What I think she might be referring to is the Yolanda's last season. They filmed a little bit with Yolanda having moved into a condo after mm-hmm. her and David separated.
Yeah.
So I think that's maybe the condo Erica's referring to.
Right.
And she says, it wasn't until I left Yolanda's condo and she said something about boys will protect boys, which leads me to believe that David cheated on Yolanda.
That's what I thought too.
But in his documentary, he addressed the divorce uh-huh. with Yolanda and he said there was no cheating, which I mean, of course he could be lying.
Right.
But this, and Yolanda never said one way or the other. It's not like she ever alleged that he cheated.
Yeah.
But just based on what Erica said in this episode, I'm like, oh, so there was infidelity.
Interesting. Well, so then Erica continues to say, I got home that night, I checked his phone, and there it was, all right there in front of me. So now we're back on Tom was cheating on her. Because remember, at first she didn't admit that to Garcelle. She wasn't sure if there were other women. Then she admitted to the other ladies, yes, I think there have been things that have happened. Now she's saying, yes, I knew back then, which was, what was that, 2014, 15, when would that have been? I mean, years ago at this point.
And what's further confusing is, so she's saying that is the moment that I was like, I need to start working harder and making my own money. Because she couldn't leave him. She felt like she couldn't leave him even if she wanted to at that time.
Yeah.
But there have been a lot of moments since then that show Erica having sweet moments with Tom and being like, he supports me more than anyone, blah, blah, blah. It's possible she was putting that on for show, yeah. But then it still comes back to the whole inauthentic thing.
Right.
What was authentic? Like, I don't know. What was real?
I don't know. And it ties into the whole situation with Sutton, where she keeps saying, that's small town stuff, you not wanting to associate with me. That's small town. That's Augusta, Georgia. This isn't small town stuff we're talking about. Like, what Tom is facing, the allegations that she is connected to, it's people's lives. You know right. what I mean? Like, this isn't small town stuff. Like, Sutton has every right to ask questions, to get legal advice. They are on a reality show together. It is a massive platform that they are all sharing. So this isn't small town stuff. There's a camera in your face, Erica. Like, It's not that small.
I mean, to put into perspective, after the first season of Real Housewives of New York, at the reunion, Ramona walked off stage, the first walk off ever, because she did not want to be associated with the fact that Alex nude photos of her had surfaced.
Right. Oh my God, how far we've come.
To me, is small town.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even want to be in the same room as someone who's had nude photos taken of themselves.
Right.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
This is not that.
This is not even close to that. And to be fair, Ramona would probably still walk off a reunion stage over that. No, yeah, it is really, I don't know. And obviously next week we see the moment I've been waiting for all season, other than the leather pants, the confrontation between Erica and Sutton, and that moment where it looks like Erica's literally about to bite her.
Right.
And Sutton stands her ground.
Well, we got a sneak peek at it in this episode with the Rinna launch party.
Right. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Lots of lips all over that party. I don't know. I'm getting a little worried. And here's like a hypothetical situation too that I would love to hear your thoughts on. If it were another woman on the show facing these allegations, how do you think Erica would handle it? Because in my mind, being married to a high-profile lawyer, Erica would probably distance herself.
Yeah, well, Tom would probably tell her to, right. And so she probably would.
Exactly, because I'm not sure she would do the same if she were in Sutton's shoes or anyone else's shoes. But again, it's a hypothetical, so who's to say?
I do want to talk a little bit about the Dorit and Garcelle confrontation.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Because I want to call it that I don't think bully is any longer a loaded word.
Right.
I think we can say you're a bully. When it first was a loaded word, it was a very different time. There was a documentary coming out about like kids being bullied into suicide at the time. Like we were really focused.
What documentary?
Oh, I don't even know if I watch it because the trailer made me like sob. Right.
Yeah.
But it was like, and that was like a national issue everyone was talking about. So that word was very loaded.
Yeah.
But that's clearly not how it's being intended here. It's just intended as like you keep poking and prodding.
Yeah.
So like, let it go. Like, don't make a big deal out of that.
It's like a bully.
Oh, stop.
And I'm not someone to be
stop
bullied.
Stop it right now. I am not bullying you. I don't bully anybody. You can stop it right now. A bully picks the fight. I was reacting to what she was doing. A bully is such a loaded word. Like, you can't throw that around. That's not okay.
Well, right. So are you saying more so from Dorit's perspective, using the word bully isn't as bad as it once was?
Yes.
So Garcelle doesn't need to get so defensive?
Right. I just feel like it's a Housewives trope over the years. Like, it used to be like, don't say bully. Like,
right.
You cannot call, do not make me associated with that word. Now I don't think that's such a thing.
I mean, I think if Dorit approached it from, I feel like you kind of pick on me, and came from a more, compassionate place as opposed to accusatory, Garcelle might have reacted in
for
a different
sure
way. And I also just, I do kind of think Dorit is reaching a bit. And it's not to say her feelings aren't valid, but I did think when she said the word bully, I was like, oh, okay, come on. Garcelle's not a bully. You know, she just says what's on her mind. She doesn't care who it's to or what it's about. She's unfiltered. And I think Dorit isn't always used to that. But I don't know. I feel like she's not seeing Garcelle for who she really is.
Well, and I think that, I mean, I personally would be offended if I was Dorit just because Garcelle was doing the whole, that's not what you said. That's not what you said yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I would be so mad.
Right.
But I think that the added layer here is that Garcelle already doesn't feel very part of the group.
Yeah.
And that she's now being called out for things that everyone has said something about.
Right.
Like, that's got to feel extra.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think she feels like, I don't want to say she's being targeted because maybe it's not that, but she's almost being held accountable for things that other people have said and done when she's not the only one who did or said those things.
Right.
I don't know. I just love Garcelle. I love that she didn't take off her sunglasses either.
Yeah.
She was just like, mm-mm.
So were you happy with the Kathy and Kyle conversation at the end of the episode?
I was. It definitely was peeling back the first of many layers in their relationship and in their family history, but particularly seeing both of them get emotional in their interviews.
Oh, seeing Kathy cry?
Yeah.
I was sobbing.
Yeah.
Because it's the reason why tough men crying makes me emotional. Like, you just rarely see it.
Right.
So it hits you harder.
Right.
And Kathy, I mean, even in Paris Hilton's documentary, which went over some very tough subjects,
intense.
Kathy did not cry.
Yeah.
So to see her cry over this, I was like, wow.
What's the number one thing that you regret about the 10 years when you and Kyle were talking less?
Being together.
Right. Well, you know what? The older that you get, and this is something that I've seen my mom and her sisters go through in the last probably about 10 years, which is what the producer asks Kathy about that gets her so emotional. These ups and downs and these differences in, you know, how you think about your upbringing and your parents and all of this stuff. Like, I've seen my mom go through it with her sisters a lot, and you know, being the child in that and watching them go through it as they get older, it really all connected for me for what Kathy and Kyle and Kim have gone through. I wish, or I hope at least, at some point we get all three of the sisters in a
yes.
conversation, whether it's this season, next season, whenever it may be. I would love to see more of this, like, triple dynamic at some point. I mean, just give them their own show as
yeah,
far as I'm concerned.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I definitely appreciated their conversation. And, you know, I really also kind of like with Candace coming into my heart this season on Potomac, Kyle feels like she's,
yeah,
I don't know. I'm receiving her much differently than I have previous seasons.
Right.
Also, can we note, this is the second time Kyle has made a reference to a meme or GIF or what have you about the Rinna, you better believe I'm going to talk about it. Second time this season.
Yeah.
Which I'm, you know, I'm okay.
Like it.
I'm okay
yeah.
with it. Breaking fourth wall-ish, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a little crack. Rose and Thorn?
Yes.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, what was your rose?
Either it was Kathy fixing her lipstick during the really intense part of the argument
yeah.
happening at Rinna's launch party, or it was Sutton correcting the producer about Suddy Buddy Butthole.
Oh my God, I still don't know what the proper name for that is.
Suddy.
Suddy, like Sutton.
Like Sudsy, I think.
Oh.
Suddy.
Buddy.
Buddy.
Like with a D, like friend?
Yeah.
Okay. And then Butthole.
Beehole.
And it's tequila and champagne or
vodka and champagne.
Vodka and champagne. Okay. Well, if you add just a little orange juice, it becomes a mimosa. Just like sometimes
well,
they put
yeah,
vodka
and like
mimosa.
French 75s, they put gin and champagne.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
like it's pretty, it's not that crazy.
Well, listen, we're going out this week, so
yes.
I'm going to order a Suddy Buddy Butthole.
Oh, do and see if the bartender
and see what
knows.
Happens. Yes, we will report back next week.
You'll be like, I don't remember what happened.
Probably won't.
This is called a Suddy Buddy Butthole, but that's beside the point.
Okay, don't I don't want to hear about that. What's your rose?
My rose is actually from Beverly Hills as well, but it is from the enhanced episode, A Never Before Seen. And it's this shady, shady moment that Garcelle has an interview talking about Rinna. Because it's a scene that was caught where Rinna talks about Harry and how he could be a politician because everyone loves him and whatever. And then Garcelle just like rips into Rinna and is like, well, I think you might be better as a politician because of the lies and blah, blah, blah. And she like lists off all these things. It is just absolute
an
housewife perfect. An interview.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. She doesn't say it at the table with everybody. But it is just a perfect
wow.
housewife's read. Yeah. What was your thorn?
Real Housewives of Potomac can't, when talking about Mia and how was she a stripper or was she an entertainment? Was she a stripper or was she an entertainer at a 5-star restaurant? Candace said, you were a lady of the night, which I just want to correct. A lady of the night is a sex worker. Not
right.
a stripper
right.
or dancer.
Yeah. Candace took it like one step too far.
So I don't know. I just felt like I needed to correct that.
Clarify.
Yeah.
I want to know what this establishment is. I've seen some people on Twitter
yeah,
being like, we need to find out what
yes,
this place
exactly.
is.
What's your thorn?
Well, my thorn is from Below Deck Med, and it is actually on behalf of the entire crew, because now that a new crew member is coming, they're going to have to split the tips more ways, which means less money for everybody. Mm. So if I were a crew member, I wouldn't be pleased. So my thorn is for all of them.
Yes.
And we'll be back with an all-new episode next week. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me one more time.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.